a young Christian family moved into a town and had to rent a house. The only place to rent was available was in a rundown section of town, and their closest neighbor seemed to be living in poverty-stricken conditions. In an effort to love their neighbors, the couple went over to visit them. They were invited inside, and when they went inside, they discovered that things were really worse than they even imagined, expected. And as they were leaving the home, the husband noticed that there was a Bible with dust all over it under the coffee table. And he said to them as he left, to the people as he left, he says, "There's a treasure in this house which is, if discovered and believed, would make you all rich. A treasure in the house that if you discover it and you believe it, will make you all rich." Well, the family thought that maybe somebody who lived in the house before them had hidden a treasure or died and maybe left money, or maybe there was a pot of gold, or maybe there were some jewels lying around. So they searched and searched and searched, and they found nothing. A few days later, the mother picked up the Bible and began to look through it. And written on the inside cover of the Bible were these words. They're from Psalm 119, verse 72, and it said, "Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver." She thought to herself, "Is this the treasure our neighbor spoke of?" She and her family began to read the Bible, and change took place in their hearts that were formerly filled with sin and discouragement and pain. The next time the neighbors came to visit, they were so surprised when they found the family completely changed. Then the family said, "We found the treasure you spoke of. We received it, and we received the Savior." They had truly experienced the treasure they had found. They had found the Bible, and what a treasure it was to them, a valuable treasure. This might be just a story, but the truth is, many have found the treasure of the Bible. Some have been in a hotel room and opened the drawer beside the bed and found a Gideon's Bible. And there's many stories of people who've found it, read it, and found out how valuable a treasure it is. There are others who have just picked up a Bible like we read, or that we were talking about in our story, and found the treasure. There are those who have been given a Bible throughout the years. They might have been given a Bible when they were young or at some point in their life, and they received it but weren't really interested in it, put it off to the side and didn't pay much attention to it, collected dust. Then one day they pick it up and they start to read it and realize what a valuable treasure had been sitting on the shelf all these years. But just having a Bible is one thing, but knowing and experiencing the true value of the treasure is life-changing. The question is, do we see the Bible for the treasure it is? That it is more valuable than silver or gold or any possession that we have? Are we believing and experiencing the treasure? Not just having it, but believing and experiencing it. And as today we're going to have a a luncheon afterwards, I thought, well, this is a good day to preach on Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the Book of Psalms. It's 176 verses. Actually, it's the longest chapter in the whole Bible. So I thought, well, we've got lots of time because we're just staying for lunch anyhow. So I thought, why not preach on it? Psalm 119 has much to say about the Bible. The writer uses several different words to describe the Word of God. He uses words like word. He uses that 30 times. The law, he uses 45 times. Statutes, 23 times. Decrees, 22 times. Commands, 22 times. And precepts, 21 times. And today I'd like to take a look at the psalm and to see what it says about this valuable treasure we have. First, we want to look at what is the Bible really like? And the psalmist says the Bible is something which will keep us pure if we believe it. And as all the verses that I'm going to use today come from Psalm 119, I'm not going to keep mentioning Psalm 119. I'll just say verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. The psalmist asks the question, and then he answers it. How can we keep a young man keep his way pure? How can anybody keep their way pure? And he says, by living according to your word. We know when we're working outside and in the middle of the summer and it's dusty and hot and we get filthy, dirty, and we're sticky, and we just want to go in after the work is done, and we want to go in and have a shower and put on clean clothes, and it feels so good, right? You've been sticky and dirty, and those clean clothes, that shower, just feels so great. And that's the same with the Bible. We read, it reveals how we have managed to get ourselves in the muck and the mire of sin. The Bible tells us that we're really great as people getting into that sin and getting all filthy and dirty. But it also reveals how we can be cleansed and made pure. The Bible is like clean, refreshing water being poured over us, washing the muck and the mire of our sin away, that dirt and that filth away. Paul writes that it has the ability of making us, showing us how we can be pure and white as snow. The Bible is like a good companion or friend, for it is written in verse 24, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. A good counselor, if you get a good counselor, they are somebody who will tell you when you're not doing so good. Even when it's hard for them to say that, they'll say, you know what? You're not really right here. You've gone off track. Really? That issue you had with that other person? Really, it's your fault. That's a good counselor. That's a good counselor, and that counselor becomes a good friend. He is one that is there to show us the errors of our ways and to guide us back to the path we need to be on. And also a true friend is one who is there to always encourage and comfort and guide us. And this is exactly what the Bible does. It corrects, it trains, it encourages us each and every day. The writer also declares that the Bible is like a song, but not just any song. Listen to verse 54. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. The writer is saying, I have a song, and that song is your words, the things that you've spoken to me. In fact, those words are the theme. They're the center of the whole song. They're the purpose of everything. Don't we see that in the life of David? He wrote most of the Psalms, and many of them are songs, have been put into songs. I would also say that song that the writer is talking about isn't just a song, any old song, but it's a song that is in the heart. Because it's there wherever we go. Have you ever noticed that someone gets up in the morning and sings a song, or there's a song on the radio, or wherever you listen to your music, and or there's a jingle on TV or something, and it gets in your head, and where is it for the rest of the day? It's there. You go over it and over it. Every time you turn around, you seem to be singing that little song. I mean, if I started singing Jesus Loves Me, you might just have that song in your head over and over. Isn't that what the Bible should be like to us? It should get into our hearts, into our minds, first thing in the morning, and then it should be like that song. It should be stuck in there for the rest of the day. Those words from the Bible should just keep feeding us. We should be hearing them over and over again. Then the writer declares the Bible is like sweet honey in our mouth. Listen to verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Reading the Bible should be a really pleasant experience. It shouldn't be something we struggle with. Unfortunately, some read the Bible, and their Bible reading is more like taking Buckley's cough syrup. You know it's good for them. They know they should take it, but it tastes horrible. So who's going to take that Buckley's cough syrup? Honestly, I would never take Buckley's cough syrup just because of that. I'd be like, why do I want to put something awful in your mouth? And some people take the Bible as that's what it's like. I know I should, and it might help me. In reading the Bible, some know it's good for them, and they should read it. But it is not something they enjoy at all, if they do. Because it's a mind thing. There are those who think that reading the Bible is like eating shredded wheat without milk. It's just dry and dusty. It's just hard to get through. It's tough slugging. Then there are those who think reading the Bible is like eating lemon meringue pie or ice cream cake. Or whatever your favorite food is, whether it's a hamburger or a steak or a hot dog or some other dessert, they think about it just like that. They enjoy it. It's an enjoyable treat. And they just can't get enough of it. Isn't that the way we need to be? Isn't that how we should read the Bible? Should be that sweet song in our ears. It needs to be that food that tastes so good that we can't get enough of it. We just want to read it more and more. So the Bible sounds like a treasure that we would like to experience. Like those are things I really want to experience. But to be worthwhile, it must have something of value for us. It has to offer us value. So let's see. The first thing the writer declares the Bible has for us is blessings. In verses 1 and 2, he starts right off, right at the very beginning of his writing, and he says, "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep the statutes and seek Him with all their heart." He states, if our lives, we will be blessed if our lives are lined up according to the Bible. If we will obey and follow the Bible, we will be blessed. Life will be filled with an eternal joy. Not that everything will go good and well all the time in our minds anyhow. It's tough sometimes. I don't know how blessed I felt when I arrived here this morning and saw the parking lot sitting, all the snow in the parking lot sitting underneath the cover of the front doors there, by the front doors. I mean, it was that deep. It was like, the parking lot's nice and clear, but you know, we are blessed. The Bible pours out rich blessings upon us as we read it. One of those blessings is that we receive life to the full, one that is worth living. Verse 37, the writer instructs, "Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." He is stating that if we will turn our eyes away from the things that are temporary, away from the things that lead us away from Jesus, if we will turn our eyes to things that do away from the things that do not add value to our lives and look to the Bible, we will have life both now and forever. What great value is there? As we experience this great treasure, we will be led in a way, in the way of eternal life. Many things in our lives will drain us, and they can cause us to become weary. Verse 28, we read, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." The truth is, it doesn't matter what has made us weary, what has drained our strength, we can renew our strength as we wait on the Lord, reading the Bible, allowing His promises to flow into our lives. As we read His word, the Bible, it strengthens us. And there is much wisdom and good, much value in wisdom and good judgment. We read in verse 66, "Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands." The value of wisdom comes from the great treasure we have in reading and experiencing the Bible. As we read, we are given life-changing knowledge on such things as parenting, marriage, relationships, finances, character, and the list could go on and on. The Bible is filled with wisdom and knowledge and good judgment for us. You would pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to start buying books on all those different topics, and yet you can get it all in one book, God's Word. Sometimes, or something which goes right along with the value of wisdom is the value of direction. Verse 133, it is written, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Direct my footsteps. God, may your word direct my footsteps in the way I should go. Don't we live in a society which is continually looking for direction? How many times have we heard people say, I'm just looking for the proper way to go. I'm just trying to find my way in life. What great value there is in this treasure which reveals the way we need to go. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Walk in this way. Follow it. The Bible guides us on a path of righteousness, a path and plan which the Lord has for our lives, a path which honors Him. Another amazing value of this incredible treasure we have is found in verse 45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. The Bible brings so much freedom. I mean, first of all, it's obvious. It reveals how we can receive freedom from our sins. There's no doubt about that. We talk about that quite often. Yet as we read and experience and believe the Bible, we find that we do not have to second guess ourselves. There's a freedom there. For we will not lie to others. If we're really reading and experiencing and believing it, we won't mistreat others. We won't have to be like the leaders of the nations we've heard lately, how they've said one thing and then how they've had to backtrack, and how I guess the SCN Lava thing comes to mind quite clearly, how, oh, you know, I said this back then, and now, oh, what did I say back then? How do I keep this all on track? Or the Iranian missile thing. You know, oh, we said this. Oh, we said that. No, maybe it was this. We don't have to be looking over our shoulders, as it were, to see if dishonesty is going to trip us up. We are free to walk and talk with our heads held high as we follow the words found in the Bible. The last value I would like to look at is found in verse 76. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. The writer is sharing that the love of the Father is found throughout the great treasure of the Bible, which we have been given. There is no greater comfort, nothing worth more in the world than to know that we are loved. And the Bible says, we are loved. I mean, it's great to know that I'm loved by my wife and by my kids, my grandkids. But there's nothing greater than knowing that I'm loved by God, our Heavenly Father. And these are only a few in a huge list of things which could declare the value of the treasure we have. I cannot see how anyone can dispute the incredible value of this treasure. The Bible has great value for us. And I think we would agree with the writer that wrote in the beginning of that, in the cover of that Bible, the words of Psalm 119:72, your instructions, your word, your Bible are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. The Bible is like cleansing water, a good friend, a song in our heart, and honey, a sweet taste It is like that to those who want to experience the treasure that is there for us. Without a doubt, it is a treasure for each one of us to discover. It is not just a treasure, but it is a treasure of great, great value. It offers us blessing, life, strength, wisdom, direction, freedom, and comfort. And the list can go on and on. Do we see the Bible for what it is? A treasure of great value just waiting for us to read, believe, and experience in our daily lives? Maybe not be just something we have on a shelf. May it be something that we read, something we experience, and something we value in our lives. So next week, we will continue to look at Psalm 119, and we're going to look at how to unlock this treasure and truly experience it. But I'd encourage you to come back next week and hear how we can unlock this treasure for our benefit and for the glory of the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that it's not written by men. I mean, it's written by men, but they were guided by your Holy Spirit as they wrote it. We thank you for the truths that are in it. We thank you for the value it has for our lives. We thank you that it is such a treasure. May we continue to seek that treasure each and every day of our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.